This is a year of anniversaries for the Cincinnati Reds. It's the 150th anniversary of the Cincinnati Red Stockings, baseball's first professional team, the 100th anniversary of the Reds winning the 1919 World Series, the 75th anniversary of Joe Nuxhall's historic debut as the youngest Major League Baseball player at age 15, and we're here tonight to celebrate another momentous occasion, the 55th anniversary of the Rosie Reds organization. Joining me tonight are Dale Silver, recent past president of the Rosie Reds, and Brian Powers from the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County, which will host a panel discussion about the Rosie Reds at 2 p.m. this Saturday, June 22nd, at the Maine Public Library downtown. Dale, Brian, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, Dale, let's start from the beginning. So it's back in 1964. Reds owner Bill DeWitt was talking about moving the team to San Diego. And so an organization was established called the Rosie Reds. And the word Rosie actually stands for, let me see if I got it right, Rooters Organized to Stimulate Interest and Enthusiasm in the Reds.
That's correct. The Cincinnati Reds.
So tell me about the beginnings.
Well, the Rosie Reds was actually called the Committee of 40 that Bill DeWitt formed because he had threatened to move the Reds out of Cincinnati because of lack of attendance. So he formed a group, and two of those ladies sprang to the top, Jeanette Hines and Mrs. Zimmer, and they felt women needed a voice in the attendance and why they weren't coming. So there was a gentleman, Hank Zurich, who did a survey, and he surveyed all the women, and they gave a bunch of reasons why they never attended. So Mrs. Zimmer and Mrs. Hines got together and started addressing it and said, we can change that. We do not want Mr. DeWitt to move the Reds. So they started a group and named it the Rosie Reds and said, never underestimate the power of a woman. And within 3 months, they had a little less than 1,000 members of some prominent women in Cincinnati.
So the original intent was to help keep the club here by boosting attendance, by getting women to come to the games.
Absolutely.
You mentioned that research, and I saw a little on the website. I would imagine that some of the reasons, if you knew Crosley Field down in the West End, that they probably didn't like the location.
Right.
They probably didn't like all the cigar smokers that used to sit next to me as a kid.
I didn't mention that one, but yes.
I bought cigars, 10 cents each. And I would imagine that the 50-year-old restrooms there might have been an issue.
I'm not sure there were many restrooms at all for the women. That was one of the biggest problems, and it was very unsafe for women back then.
So you said you quickly hit 1,000, and then along came the Big Red Machine in the 70s. I would imagine your membership just kind of exploded.
Right. Our charter members is capped at 3,000. We're very much a great partner of the Cincinnati Reds, and we agreed that our charter membership would be 3,000 because they do give us some benefits, discounted tickets, events, and things like that they allow us to host at GABP. So it's grown very quickly. Then the nice thing back in the day was ownership and managers required, especially March Schott and Sparky Anderson required the players to attend our events. Fashion shows, and we've got pictures and do presentations showing all these pictures. All the players came to our events. All the wives came. They actually modeled the clothes. So it was very, very heavily supported by the Reds and the players.
What's your membership at now?
Our membership goes up and down with the success of the Cincinnati Reds. So we're a little less than 2,000. And this year, honestly, we've added several hundred because of the prospect of how well they're going to do and are doing.
And all the 150 events, I would imagine, too. A lot of excitement about the ballpark and events, and we're hoping the team gets it on track.
The Hall of Fame allowed us, we became a sponsor, and we do have a showcase in the Hall of Fame celebrating our 55th.
Brian, you're going to have Dale and the current Rosie Reds president, Valerie Guthrie, at your program on Saturday. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, it's part of a series that we developed with the Reds Hall of Fame. The Reds Hall of Fame approached us last year about the idea of us doing some free lecture, free events that people can come to the library. And we also have right now an exhibit up that with a lot of the items from the Reds Hall of Fame on loan that people can check out in our Cincinnati room. That's up until the end of July. So we wanted to do a lecture series throughout the run of the exhibit. So we've already had some already with the early years, like the 1869 team. But for June, we want to do stuff in the 1900s. So we had one on Wade Hoyt, and now we want to do the Rosie Reds, which starts about 1964 up until now. So the idea is, you know, we want to do different kinds of time periods and different kind of histories. And what's really exciting about this program is that it's about the fans, not necessarily the athletes, because I think what's important about baseball is its fans, you know. So it's going to be at 2 o'clock in our Reading Garden Lounge.
Is it a Q&A, PowerPoint? What we're doing
That's
here?
That's up to Dale, whatever she wants to do. We have different presenters, so everybody has had different things. We tend to have PowerPoints and a Q&A.
And we do have a PowerPoint and a presentation that I had put together a couple years ago. We will have a PowerPoint, and Valerie and I will discuss the history and share some of our memories.
So in your exhibit, where's that?
It's in the Cincinnati room, which is near the genealogy local history department on the third floor.
Third floor. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have any Rosie Red stuff there?
Yeah, we sure do. Thanks to Dale. We got some Rosie Reds in there, and we got a lot of stuff from the Hall of Fame. From our collection, the main library, we actually have some Reds artifacts, and we have a scorecard from 1869, original scorecard. But we have stuff, all sorts of memorabilia. We have a couple of collectors who've loaned some of their items on loan.
So the scorecard, I'd like to see it. Back in 1965, there was a scorecard on the cover was Mr. Red and Rosie, cartoon illustrations of them. So I'm thinking, that's your first year. That was quite a breakthrough.
That was huge for us, yes. Yeah, it was Rosie and Rosie Reds, and it was called Little Red Man. And the women, when they were starting the Rosie Reds, actually encouraged the Reds to hire single eligible men for the ladies in Cincinnati. So the players, they had a definite idea of what they wanted from the players.
So tell me about the Rosie Reds today. Is it only open to women?
No. Thank you for asking that, because we have 25% of our membership is men. We are a social and philanthropic organization, so all of our fundraising and everything is donated back to the 9 area college baseball programs, as well as the Pal Crosley Kid Glove organization. We donate about $40,000 every year to those organizations. Last year, we were also part of the Bernie Stowe Field that the Community Fund did, and Charlie Frank. So we were honored to donate $40,000 to that. And then again, I mentioned the Reds Hall of Fame. So everything we fundraise for goes right back into the baseball community.
So this is just more than joining a group to go to the Reds games.
Right. And we have 3 Reds games that the Reds provide us every year as part of our program. And then we have several events. Tom Browning, we have events at Browning's on York to do watch parties for out-of-town Reds games. We do them at various places. We've even done metal design shops and things like that, just so members can get to know each other.
So what kind of fundraising events are you doing?
Well, we were fortunate to have several donors. Mr. Harry Fayeth has donated diamond seat tickets for us for raffles. Jeff Weiler has also done the same. So we send out those raffles. Members buy tickets in order to win 2 seats. So we're very grateful for our supporters. But we have something called the Ins and Outs Tours at GABP. So you pay to attend that, and all that money is generated back. We do sell merchandise that has a very slight markup, but anything extra goes directly back into the community.
So with the scholarships, those are to the area colleges?
They're actually endowments. They started out as individual scholarships to an individual at each school. And now we call it an endowment because it's up to the school where they would like to disperse the funds.
How does somebody join?
Join the Rosie Reds?
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to join online.
So the Rosie Red discussion is going to be 2 p.m. this Saturday at the library.
Yes.
And while they're there, people are supposed to, or anybody who's go by as a librarian on Vine Street in downtown Cincinnati should go to the third floor and see the exhibit.
Yep. It's open every day, Monday through Friday from 9 until 5, and Saturdays 9 to 6. And then we're also open on Sundays 1 to 5.
Dale, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate it. And Brian, thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, Dale.
Brian, it's always good to see you here at VXU. You're almost like a staffer, I think. Thanks for coming in again.
Well, thanks for having us, John.
So the Rosie Reds discussion will be 2 p.m. this Saturday, June 22nd, in the Reading Garden Lounge at the Maine Public Library downtown.
That's on the first floor.
On the first floor. The Celebrating 150 Years of the Cincinnati Years exhibit will be on display at the Maine Public Library through July 28th. On our website, wvxu.org, you'll find a link to the Public Library of Cincinnati in Hamilton County. For Around Cincinnati, I'm John Kiesbutter.